Back in the 1900s, there was a young man who fell in love with a young woman. Except the problem was, no matter what they tried, they couldn't conceive a child. The years went by, and like many families, they turned to adoption to solve their infertility. They adopted a beautiful baby boy and finally had the family that they always wanted. A few years later, they desired to grow their family once more, and so they contacted the same adoption agency and started the process all over again. The couple never stopped trying to conceive a child, but at this time, each was 39, not to mention after many rounds of medical testing, it was revealed that both he and she had problems which would leave them infertile. Heartbroken, the woman heard of the Divine Mercy image and developed a devotion to it, and its words at the bottom of the image, "Jesus, I trust in you." Prayer helped, but she kept praying that the Lord would shower her with the promised grace through the Divine Mercy image and bless her and her husband with a child. Month after month, the couple was heartbroken. Finally, in a moment of desperation and acceptance, the woman prayed in front of the Divine Mercy image and said, "If you don't want us to have a child, I am okay with it. Your will be done, not my own. Jesus, I trust in you." Within a few days, my parents found out they were pregnant with me. Four or five weeks ago, we heard Jesus tell everyone that they could destroy the temple, and in 3 days, he would rebuild it. He was speaking about the temple of his body being the new place of sacrifice, replacing the temple in Jerusalem. A week or so after, we heard about the temple itself and how water flowed from the temple in a vision from the prophet Ezekiel. Historically, we know that the temple in Jerusalem was built so that the blood of the sacrifices would be washed with water from the side of the temple. Then, during the crucifixion, we hear of the soldier thrusting his lance into the side of Christ, and immediately blood and water flow from the side of the body of Christ, the true temple of sacrifice. St. Paul speaks of Christ in the second reading today and says, "This is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by water alone, but by water and blood." Did not Jesus get baptized by John in the Jordan? So he was washed with water like us in baptism. And he shed his blood on the cross for us to wash away our sins. Water and blood are how we are saved. Which brings me to today's great feast of mercy. Today is the Feast of Divine Mercy, which is based on the visions of Jesus to a young Polish nun named Sister Faustina. In the 1920s and 30s, Sister Faustina was given visions of Jesus and Mary and then told to write these down. These visions told her that the Lord desires there to be a feast for sinners, honoring his great mercy. With this feast, we would be given the Divine Mercy Chaplet. The main prayer of each decade calls upon the blood and water that flow from the side of Jesus as a source of mercy and grace for us. According to these visions of St. Faustina and enacted by Pope St. John Paul II in 2001, Jesus wanted the Feast of Mercy to fall on the second Sunday after Easter each year. Jesus also showed Sister Faustina an image he desired to be painted. The image of Divine Mercy, the one literally right here in front of you, this image is what he had her paint. Scientific scans have shown that this image is a perfect match for the Shroud of Turin, meaning that the image painted by an artist in Poland in 1930 by normal means is miraculously an exact match for the burial cloth that surrounded the body of Christ in the tomb. When we superimpose the Divine Mercy image over the Shroud of Turin, it is a 100% match. Further details about this image is that Jesus wanted white and red rays, sometime looking bluish, emanating forth from his side where it was pierced with a lance. The rays of red and white show the Lord's mercy and grace that he desires to pour on all of us, if we only ask. Speaking of the Lord's great mercy given to us through the church, let me speak to you of the mercy offered at the time of death. When a priest is called to the bedside of the dying, they can hear their confession if the person is conscious and take away all their sins, or if the person is unconscious, the priest may take away their sins by the anointing of the sick. This is a beautiful gift, and if that was all that the priest could do, that would be wonderful. But wait, there's more. The priest may also impart what is known as the apostolic pardon to the dying. This is a special prayer that every priest around the world has been given permission to say since the Year of Mercy instituted by Pope Francis a few years ago. The prayer, the apostolic pardon, may be said after the anointing of the sick has been imparted, and this pardon gets rid of all temporal punishment associated with sin. Meaning, the anointing of the sick or the confession takes away the person's sins they have committed. However, they may still owe time in purgatory after they die. The apostolic pardon removes the debt owed in purgatory so that when the person dies, assuming they have committed no other sin since the anointing and the apostolic pardon, that person goes straight to heaven after they die. This is most often the case when someone is in an unconscious state before death. They are given last rites by the priest along with the apostolic pardon. They remain in that coma, unable to commit any sin, and then they pass away. That person has no sin tying them down and goes to be with Jesus in heaven the moment after they die. Now, this was a random tangent if I don't tie it directly into the feast that we're celebrating today. But the biggest thing that Jesus wanted to happen on this feast of divine mercy for us was to be given an opportunity to receive a plenary indulgence. An indulgence that does the same thing for us as the apostolic pardon does for the person who is dying. On the Feast of Divine Mercy, which is today, right now, you're in it, congratulations. In order to receive the plenary indulgence, you must do the following things. First, go to Mass and receive communion. Congratulations, you are halfway there. Make it through the homily, receive communion. Step one, done. Number two, you must go to confession either 2 weeks before today or 2 weeks after today. If you made a good Easter confession and you are still free of any mortal sin, congratulations, step two is already done. And finally, the last criteria is to say a prayer for the Pope and for his intentions. Usually this is done by simply saying an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory be for the Pope. These three requirements merit a plenary indulgence for the person completing all three. And by plenary indulgence, I mean your soul goes back to the same state it was the moment after it was baptized. What a good day to have a baptism, huh? It's in the same state as someone who receives the apostolic pardon before death. The plenary indulgence can even be applied to the souls in purgatory if you wanted to offer it for your deceased relatives instead. By showing up and doing your duty as a Catholic to attend Mass and receive communion, by going to confession around Easter as we are urged to anyway, or in the next 2 weeks, and by offering a simple prayer for the Pope and his intentions, you get a gift that is unlike any other gift, the gift of the Lord's overwhelming mercy and forgiveness. It's like paying 25 cents to buy a mansion that you never have to pay taxes on or pay for the upkeep for. We are completely outdone by the Lord's generosity in response to a meager offering. This all came from the heart of the Lord, who desires all people to return to him with conversion of heart. Jesus told Sister Faustina that there are so many sinners who never ask the Lord for his mercy. He would freely give it to them if they would just ask. He describes the sin of our entire life in its totality as a drop in the ocean of his mercy for us. He ardently desires to pour out his grace and mercy upon us from his divine side if only we ask for him for his help. Maybe we have a family member who just can't seem to figure out life. Maybe we are the ones who feel like we need major spiritual support. Maybe we have a loved one who has died who we worry about their soul. This feast of divine mercy can help with all of that. Ask for the grace in your own life to help you overcome some major sin that seems insurmountable. ask for the mercy and the grace to be applied to a living member of your family who you know needs divine intervention. Ask the Lord for the grace to be applied to a dead relative who may not have followed the Lord so closely in life. All three of these situations are great opportunities to ask the Lord for his mercy and his grace, which he so freely desires to give to the whole world.